servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me.
Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God presented to you by the Macarius Church Headquarters. This great teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for anyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teachings as taught at the Macarius Church Headquarters.
I am listening, I am waiting, speak to me.
Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for this afternoon, Holy Spirit. Let the entrance of the word give light and give understanding to the simple. Give unto us a spirit of revelation, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know the hope of our calling, the riches of the glory of our inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe. This power which was manifested in the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead. May resurrection power be at work in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Bishop Eddie is preaching at Changed Life Baptist Church. Yes, it's a good place to clap because he's honoring the place where he was brought up as a Christian. And I am preaching here at the Unquenchable Fire Service. And I am preaching a topic called How to Identify a Door. I see God opening a door for you. And it's from this beautiful book written by our prophet, The Art of Hearing, or How to Be in the Perfect Will of God. It's so important to be in the perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So, it's the renewing of your mind that will make you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Bible teachers who have taught on the will of God, like Kenneth Hagin, teach that there is the perfect will of God, which is like the bull's eye. You know, when you are playing darts, there's the center right there in the middle, which you want to aim at. And that's what your aim should be in life. Being in the will of God is important. You have to be in the right church. You have to be married to the right person. You have to be in the right job. Oh yes. Where you work must be the will of God for you. And I remember years ago when I was working in Tema General Hospital. Reverend Abosi, please note, Tema General Hospital in Ghana. Yes. And it was holiday. I was on leave for 1 month. So as a young doctor who knew that other doctors, when they were leave, they did locum. As in, they go to work in another hospital where they are paid higher rates. Because locum rates are paid by the hour, not by the month. You know. But I still remember that when I was going to work in that particular, it was December. I still remember that when I was going to do that locum, I was wondering whether it was the will of God to do that. Bishop Big D, I was actually praying. And even when I started doing the job, I was still go to the job thinking, is it the will of God for me to be here? And I would even go sometimes fasting as a doctor was going to work because I wasn't sure whether it was the will of God for me to be there. But I was still going anyway. And I remember that one guy who was the driver of the organization used to pick me in and out. He was a backslidden Assemblies of God member. But through that 1 month or so of working there, when he saw this doctor who was sometimes, I don't know how he saw that I was fasting. Honestly, I don't think I really showed that, you know, I'm very, you know, weak and, you know, light-headed. No, I don't think so. But at the end of the month, he said he would rededicate his life to Jesus. He would go to church better. I mean, he had been transformed. He had been changed by just around. Even though, you see, so it's interesting that God, when it comes to the will of God, God is orchestrating 10,000 things, even though you may not be sure of yourself. I still remember my job or work at the Tema General Hospital that I didn't want to do other things that would bring extra money whilst I was working there. There were things to do, you could do. Again, I was not sure. So sometimes I would say, maybe it's also good to do it, or then I'll do it for, then I'll stop. Like when people came with accident forms and things. So, you know, you have to pay police form, they have to pay something to fill it. But in my uncertainty, the nurse I was working with, at the end of the period, when I'd actually left and gone to England for postgraduate medicine, she wrote me a letter that, you know, because you were here, and because I saw, and again, I don't know, I saw that I was struggling, you know, with whether I was taking the right decisions or not, but she could see something about what was happening that made her, when I left, she said, I've gone to action. I'm there regularly as a member now. I want you to know that I'm there. She wrote me a letter. So I want you to know that I'm there. Yeah, I'm there. No, so I feel that we must strive. You see, there's something called the set of the sail. When you have boats that use a sail, apparently, where the boat will go is determined by how the sail is set. So those who are experts know how to set the sail in a way that it will go this way. So I want to believe that if your heart is inclined to want to do the will of God, to want to please God, to want to do what He wants you to do, God will somehow orchestrate the circumstances for that to happen in your life. Even though you struggle. Even though you struggle. So, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God, a scenario to describe it is what they had in Israel, where God ruled them through people like Moses, and then judges like Samson. Samuel was the last of the judges. Because it was a theocracy. God was the ruler. And he ruled through the judges. But when the sons of Samuel became judges, they started taking bribes. So the people of Israel came and told Samuel that, we want a king like all the other. And that's what you see. Be not conformed to this world. Sometimes in your attempt to conform to this world, you may move out of the perfect will of God. So God gave them a king. His name was Saul. Actually, Saul disobeyed God and all that, but in terms of oppression and the list of things that Samuel gave would happen to anyone that would want to be ruled by a king, it didn't happen in Saul's time at all. It was the later kings who came, like Manasseh and all those guys. Oh, they sacrificed people of Israel. They made the blood of the Israelites flow in the streets of Israel. So sometimes, when you take a course that is not God's will, you seem to be cruising for a while. You seem to be okay for a while. But if you are out of the will of God, pray that God will send a wind like he sent to Jonah's wind. Well, Jonah was out of the will of God on his way to Tarshish when he had been sent to Nineveh. And God sent a wind. That's when God likes you. He will send winds your way and send obstacles that will make you say, hey, Charlie, I'm in a dangerous place. And then the last scene is that they will throw you into the water and then the water will become still. And then a whale will swallow you. So sometimes the difficulties that you may be experiencing may be because you are out of the will of God and God likes you. So he's allowing these things to happen to you. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Because the worst form of God's punishment is to leave you alone. Oh yes. 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 That's what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 1 that God left them. What's the expression? The King James, he puts it in a certain way. He gave them up. He gave them up. He gave them up. He gave them up. Yeah, he gave them up. He will not speak about that matter anymore. Be happy when somebody can rebuke you. Joyce, if somebody can face you and tell you that, look, this and this and this and that, you should be happy. Should be happy. Should be happy. Because if they leave you that, Charlie, in tree they say Kashen Kosi. Is that how they say it? Kashen Kosi. Sail on. Sit down. God is allowing you to, injuries are what will happen to you. Injuries. But thank God that if he likes you, he intervene in your life and bring you back into his perfect will. You see, you have to have a sense of being uncomfortable when you are entering into the imperfect will of God. A sense of unease. A relationship that you should not be in. You shouldn't be happy. You should hear warning bells. And there should be warning signs. But some of us have developed systems that turn off these warning signs and warning sounds. I'm sure you can do that. Is that not so? There are some things that come on as an alert or notification. You can turn them off. Even alarm, you can turn it off and say that it never sounded. I can't believe the alarm didn't go off. And so it went off. Sometimes you wake up, the alarm is still going off. Yeah. You turn the thing off, say, oh.
You are in love.
You are in love. Yeah. Yeah. So we must have a desire. We must have, it must be, I think there's a hymn like that. Yes. Yes. I want a principle within. That's how it goes. I want a principle within of jealous, godly fear. A sensibility to sin, a pain to feel it near. That's how it goes. So I pray God for you that you have a principle inside you that tells you that I must be in the perfect will of God. And that if I'm not in the perfect will of God, then I don't want any other thing apart from the perfect will of God. Because when the Israelites went for another scenario with the Israelites is when they decided that if you didn't want your wife, you could write a letter and send her away. And they were doing it. So the Pharisees came to ask Jesus a question that, Jesus, can you? And Jesus said, no, you shouldn't do that. They said, well, why did Moses? They said, because of the hardness of your hearts. You see, so sometimes God permits a situation not because that is his perfect will, but because of the hardness of your heart. I think that if you know that you rebuke somebody, the person will not be happy with you. You will not rebuke them. You will live with them. You will try to live with them in peace. Yeah. Because you don't want any problems. But we are saying that when it comes to being in the perfect will of God, we should first of all have that inclination. We should want it. Okay? And therefore, we should know all the ways by which God is going to direct us to be in His perfect will. And that's why in Isaiah 30 verse 21, I believe that's the place that it says that you hear a voice or a voice behind you. Isaiah 30, yeah? And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk in it. I'll tell you something clear, I'll tell you something for free. Have your quiet time every day, because your quiet time is the likely place, the first port of call that God is going to talk to you about things. Look, you may want or prefer spectacular gardens like dreams, prophets, visions, all those things. Fine. But those are not the primary ways. You see, God is going to speak to you first through His word. So if you are not familiar with the word, you will never hear. He said, you will hear a word. You will never hear that word. In fact, if you don't read your Bible, and somebody bothers to take the Bible to counsel you, you will reject it. And that's another thing for you. As we are talking about the will of God and about marriage, if you are a lady and a guy is going to get married to you, and also vice versa, but somehow I seem to advise the ladies more on that line. If a guy says he wants to marry you, one of the first things that we should know is he subject to the word of God? Does he tremble at the word of God? If somebody opens the Bible and shows him something in the Bible, will he say that, hey, if that's what it is, then I wouldn't do it? Let me give you an example. I once had a sheep. She was going to marry somebody. And I told this sheep that, I want to meet this person you want to marry. So she brought him and we sat down. And the first question I asked him was, are you born again? And his answer was interesting. He said, I'm Catholic. Yeah. Which is to say, if you are bringing born again, it's like we are playing cards. You are brought born again, means you are brought Catholic. I think they are the same. So we spoke. But I perceived at the end of the day that this person was not born again. He was not born again. So I advised my member that, please, not this guy. Then I even asked the question, Abayukra, you were on campus. You were in the church on campus. Didn't you find anybody there? She said, I found one guy, but the way he behaved or misbehaved, I swore never to have any of these Krife boys or Christian boys as a beloved. And I said, haven't you ever eaten rice and cracked a stone in the rice? So I've eaten wache and had. Have you stopped eating wache? As in, you don't eat wache anymore because you ate one wache and there was a stone in it. No. So if one boy has done this, go to another. He said, No. I've closed the door to all. So I also said, okay, no problem. So she got married. I was at the engagement, but for the wedding itself, I couldn't. Something happened. I was away or something. I couldn't make it. When she got married, then she was one day cleaning the house, something. Then she saw a talisman. So she brought it out. And when he came home, she asked him, what meanest? The guy asked a question, do you know what was protecting me before you came? Men and brethren, we must be sensitive to the will of God. We must want to walk in the will of God. Especially, I want to advise you in the area of marriage. I feel some people need to hear this. And the voice of your pastor will also come in. Long and short, Reverend Eric. One day she ran away. No. She took off. She took off. It's okay.
I was going to add one detail, but this is enough. What I'm saying is that God will speak to you through a word. That's, you see, but sometimes God doesn't speak to you directly. He speaks to you by directing your paths. So in Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. And in this beautiful book written by a prophet, he illustrates what he calls the secret of directed paths by saying that one day he landed at the major international airport and he had never been there before. He didn't know his way about. But what he realized was that as he kept on going, there were signs and some doors or some, if you like, entrances were actually closed to him. So he couldn't go there. So he had to go this other way. And as he kept on going, his paths were directed till he got to the place where he had to get to. And I submit to you that God sometimes directs us that way by closing certain doors and closing certain avenues and opening up certain ones. Oh, pass here, go here, go here, go here. And you see that you are moving along. So in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things said he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. You see, the key of David means sovereignty or the will of God, the sovereign will of God, by which he has determined that as for this door, it's not your door. So he has shut it. But some of us don't know whether because we are charismatics or we are cholerics. We have got to organize a chain gang, masons, carpenters, and against the door that God has shut. And we are trying to break the door down. Yes. Dynamites. To blast the door. You have seen in a movie that when some doors are closed, then they'll put something that, pull, then the door is open. So you are going to do the same. But God has shut the door. And if you try to open doors that God has shut, you may injure yourself in the process. Oh yes. I know a lady who said that I'll marry this man, this particular man. He's the one I'll marry. Hey! But there's an old song. It's a very, very old song. It says in fancy, drive in ya na mawa. It's like, me there, I'll marry it. I'll marry a driver. I think because the drivers used to ply the route and used to take foodstuffs and all that, the woman felt that if she married the driver, she'll be very, very well off. Because he'll bring her a pim and bring her cassava and all those. Drive in ya na mawa. But this girl had determined that this guy, I will marry this guy. Hey! She followed the guy, lost her virginity, followed him, had a baby with him, followed him. The guy was lying to her, had a second baby. She about three children. The guy was still not married to her. And he had lies upon lies upon lies. Why? When you can see that God has clearly shut this door, just walk away. There are several open doors around. Go and look for one of them and walk through. There was another lady. She said that this guy, I like him. May God deliver you from such morbid, you see, I think something is called morbid affection. There's a movie, old movie called Fatal Attraction. Some of these attractions are fatal. But they will not lead you anywhere. But she liked the guy. She liked the guy and wanted him, but she lost him to another girl. Then where the girl had either become his girlfriend or his wife, she maneuvered to sleep with him and became pregnant with him. Why? Why? a Christian who knows that some of these things God has not allowed it. Why? You see, someone else, I didn't know personally, but I saw her obituary because she was not having a baby as a pregnant woman. But her, look. You know, because sometimes when women are failing to fall pregnant, it's because the stress of trying to be pregnant has increased a hormone in their system called prolactin. And now the stress of trying to be pregnant is what is fighting the pregnancy or the conception. I don't know whether you get it.
Yeah.
So sometimes all they have to do is relax. Forget it. Because for some people, even sex becomes such a, hey, you must do at this time, you know, timing. Something that should be relaxing. Relax! So sometimes when you tell them that, relax! That's when they rather fall pregnant. Then this lady, she went to have a pregnancy with a fibroid. Doctor said he was going to do a surgery to take the baby out, to take the fibroid at the same time. Men and brethren, long and short, the woman died. There are no other guy. He told himself that America. Hey, it's actually America. You know, one day they said somebody landed in America. When he got out of the plane, he knelt on the tarmac and lifted his hand and said, America, my fatherland. Then the people said, please, let's watch your papers and see. Say, you're only here for a visit and it's already your fatherland. Go back. Go back. You have meant America too much. No. So they make all sorts of maneuvers to visa this connection, too many things. The guy forced, and he landed in America. He arrived. Then he went to chase somebody's girlfriend in America. And the guy came and shot him. He's dead. Men and brethren, if God has shut the door, walk away. Look for another door that God has shut. There's no point. There's no point. He has shut it. He shut it. He says that when he shuts it, no man openeth. Why are you struggling with the door that God has shut? But in the next verse, verse 8, he says that, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Oh, so as someone, one was shut, but one has been opened. Oh, because he says that you have a little strength. I know that you are limited, but you have kept my word. You are trying, and you have not denied my name. So I've opened the door for you, and I see God opening a door for you in the name of Jesus. I don't know what kind of door you are looking for, whether it's a marital door, a financial door, a career door, what kind of door you are looking for, but God is opening one for you right now, as you have not denied his name, as you are in the church serving him. God has opened the door for you. And he opens several doors for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, the definition, or rather, an open door is a God-given opportunity in the midst of impossibilities. You know, working out the will of God, trying to enter into the will of God, will sometimes demand that you sit down and think that, look, this situation that I'm in, let's take the prodigal son. He wanted to prosper. He wanted to do well. That's why I went to collect his inheritance. But one day he sat up and said, I have nothing. Let me go back to my father's house. So there are times when you need analysis of your situation. So one day I was working with a lady, a midwife, whom I shall call Jill for the purpose of this discussion in Oxford. This one is not Tema. And I went to the ward once and noticed a little send off they were doing for somebody. I said, hey, what's happening? I said, oh, Jill is leaving midwifery. I said, oh, wow, Jill, why are you leaving midwifery? I said, oh, I'm going to be a drug rep. I said, wow, you're going to work for a pharmaceutical company? He said, yes. And I'll go around distributing the medicines to doctors and other people. I said, oh, gee, I wish you all the best, you know. I said goodbye. Then I left. Then actually, after I finished my work in that hostel, went to work other places. Then came back to the hostel 2 years later. Went up the ward one of the days and saw Jill standing there in her midwifery uniform and pregnant. And I said, ah, Jill, I thought you gave up midwifery. I said, oh, yeah, I did. I said, why? You're back. I said, oh, yes. Because I sat down one day and figured out that my work as a midwife, I only meet men who are bringing their wives to come and have babies. And I spend 12 hours in the hospital. And when I go back in the evening, I'm tired, too tired to go out to meet any man. So I decided to become a drug rep. So I could go out and meet more men. I could increase the range of people I meet, of men I meet. Okay. Not only married men. Oh. And now, in my work as a drug rep, I've met another drug rep. She mentioned his name. And he has married me. He has a Mercedes-Benz. He has bought me a BMW. So I decided that, since midwifery is my first love, I must come back to midwifery and be... Oh, yes! Wow! I said that, you can sit down and think, and sometimes we fail. Sometimes we fail as Christians to analyze the situation you are in and take a decision that, hey, Charlie, this boy that I followed in 3 years, he now is not proposing, he's not, you know, it's like you like him, or he doesn't like you, does he like you, has he said anything, or he's just like, okay, you are around, but other people too are around. Hey, Charlie, please, please, there should be a declaration. Before you come and say that, I followed you 5 years, and you say, but I said nothing. I've asked people to ask such questions before. Well, I told the ladies that, Charlie, ask him. There's no shame. Well, you come and say later that I didn't say anything. You didn't say anything. Number two, an open door is a chance to escape or to achieve something for the Lord. I remember when I was invited to come into full-time ministry. I remember that there were other opportunities that were going to come up nicely for me. But I looked at the thing and said, look, you see, the will of God and doors have something about them called timing. Oh, yeah. These words must play about in your mind when you're thinking about doors and the will of God. Times, seasons, and timings. Oh, yeah. God has his own timing. And you, if you want to play God and tell God that, oh, I'm not ready, by the time this and that, you may find that you have made a mistake. You know one thing that's about the timing of God, when we read the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus, but he was going to be the forerunner of Jesus. But if Zacharias and Elizabeth had had a child, immediately they got married, their son John the Baptist would have been about 30 years older than Jesus. So Jesus would be 30 and Zacharias, John the Baptist would be 60. I mean, which John the Baptist do you prefer? The one that can say, hey, prepare ye the way of the Lord, or the one that can say, prepare ye the way of the Lord? You can see that it's not working. It's an old John the Baptist. So God deliberately blocked Elizabeth's womb for all that time, so that just before Jesus appeared, then an angel appeared to Zachariah and said, you're about to have a baby. So that the timing, I pray for patience for you, somebody, that you will say that, God, I like your timing. I like your timing. I remember one day when I was sitting in an antenatal clinic waiting for a consultant. Her name was Margaret Long. That's her name, Margaret Long. Long. And as I was sitting there, I told myself that this woman I have to meet, it's Friday. If she delays any further and I don't see her, I'll lose my chance. Or is it that because her name is Long, that's why she's taking a long time to come? As I sat there with my thoughts, the Holy Spirit whispered to me something. He said, even the delay is part of the plan. Even the delay. I heard it clearly. And I said, it's okay. It's okay. Let me just relax. Let me just relax. May God give you a spirit of... It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Relax. God is working something out. He's opening better doors than the ones that have been shut. Beautiful. But sit down. Number three. An open door is an opening in the midst of impossible circumstances. You know, God orchestrates. You see, I sometimes think of God as an orchestra conductor. With many trombone, trumpets. There's another one called piccolo. Plenty. But he knows how each one of them is supposed to play, how they're, when they're supposed to come in to make the music nice. He's organizing everything, brother. Just relax and enjoy the music. So impossible circumstances, you know, I remember reading the story of Demos Shakarian, the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. His grandparents were Armenian, and they had moved from Armenia to the U.S. to come and live there. And Armenian tradition was such that even if you liked a girl, and he had seen a girl that he liked, she was called Rosa Gabriela, and he was called Demos Shakarian. They're Armenians. And the only way he could meet the girl alone was to tell his parents, so his parents would organize a dinner with the other family. So they would meet. Then after dinner, somehow they would orchestrate for just the two of them to be alone. Then it's like, Charlie, brother, now is your chance to speak. Hey, so the brother prepared. Man. Speech for speech. Oh. And on the day they had a dinner, then as they were talking, then all the other people faded and just left the two of them there. Then suddenly, mommy, the guy's raps filled him. Oh. No, it made me remember when they were in medical school. I had one of my mates. He's on our school page now, medical school page. He was standing for office and he was speaking powerfully. And he said, as Winston Churchill said. Then Winston failed him. He couldn't remember what Winston Churchill had said. The brother's wrath failed him. He looked at the girl. He couldn't speak. Then he said, Rosa, I know that God wants us to be together. Then the girl started crying. She started crying. So he didn't know whether the false raps had worked or not. Then the girl told him that, I've been praying for my future husband since I was a teenager. And what I told God was that the first words that he should ever say to me are that, Rosa, I know that God wants us to be together. Hey! So if that guy's raps had worked, he would have been disqualified. Let me tell you another one. You see, this one is not... I don't know whether... It's a nice one, you see. The guy was going to meet the family of the girl, just in case. But this one, there's not like Armenian families. He's going to meet the family. I think it was America. So, when he was going out, he passed through the kitchen to for his mom to see whether he was okay. And mom said, oh, you look great. Just wipe your shoe with this cloth. I mean, so something on your shoe. Just so he just wiped and then he left. When he went to the house of the family or the girl he wanted to meet, Asomoah, that family had an old dog. And that dog was like the test of the family to decide whether you were a good person or a bad person. So if the dog liked you, then you were a good person. If the dog didn't like you, you were a bad person. The moment he entered the house, the dog got up from where it was, came up and smelled around the shoes and started following him everywhere. So when he sits down, the dog goes, sit down. Then he gets on. Hey! So at the end of the day, told him, Charlie, you have passed, cry. You have passed, cry. So when he came back home, his mom said, hey, I hope I didn't cause you problems, because that cloth you used to wipe, it had some broth from bacon on it. So I said, oh, that's a hey, it's a sudden accident at all. It has worked. I'm telling you that God is orchestrating everything. Oh, it's working for you. An open door is a time-related breakthrough that gives you a needed option. And I pray that you take the time of God, or the timing of God well. Let me show you three ways to recognize a door. Number one, the first way to recognize a door is to recognize an opportunity that comes in the midst of other unworkable options. In the natural, a door is flanked on the left and right by impenetrable walls. This reveals impossible or impenetrable circumstances all around, except in the position where the door is. And it's true. All these doors here, wall to the left, wall to the right, no matter how you try, you can't go through the wall. Only Jesus was able to go through walls. And really, that was his resurrected body. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 16, 8. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. So Paul says, I'm here in Ephesus, but I'm going to stay here till Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days after resurrection. Ascension is 40 days after resurrection. And Penta, 5, is 10 days after Ascension, Pentecost. Why? For a great door, an effectual, is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries. I prophesy to you today that God is opening a great door for you. You see, a great door is a door that makes you do great things. You are walking into your greatness. An effectual door is a powerful door. You are also walking into another season of power in your life as you walk through that great and effectual door. But Paul says there are many adversaries. You see, that's why I will encourage you, if you are a member of Macarius Church, which is part of the United Denominations of Churches, originating from the Lighthouse group of churches, that our founder and our prophet and our father, Bishop Dagwood Mills, has flow prayer meetings on Tuesdays at 4 a.m. It's called flow prayer meeting. It has many meanings. Flexible online, first love, witty invention. But the whole point is that we are praying as a church, as a denomination, worldwide. It's a worldwide prayer meeting. So I'm telling you that if you are part of the church, you should be part of the prayer meeting. You say you don't have data. How can you have data for some other things, but you don't have data for the flow prayer meeting? Or even if you don't have data, start by joining somebody who has data. Some of you even forget. You don't even know that there's a prayer meeting on Tuesday at dawn. When you are going to bed on Monday, it's not part of your thoughts. But I'm here to remind you today, brother, sister, that you are supposed to be part of a worldwide prayer meeting on Tuesdays at 4 a.m. and Fridays at 4 a.m. Say amen.
Yes.
Even if you have not been attending, say amen. It will help you to attend. Are you looking at Flow or you are looking at WhatsApp? Okay. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because wake him up if he's asleep. Should sit up. The air conditioner is not an excuse to fall asleep. I'm saying that whatever doors God has for you, they're adversaries. Adversaries are opponents. They'll not allow you to go through. Years ago, I watched a movie called Running Man. It featured Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think. But they allow prisoners or people to run. It's like, run this way. But there are people on this side and there with clubs and other... Oh, wicked movie, I tell you. So you run, but they will hit you. Oh, they'll finish you. So the last... You know how we all like... The movie where the last show, the wicked person. So the last show, no, I think Schwarzenegger or somebody. So when they put it, they say run. And then the people will get you. So he caught the guy and took, put the guy and said run. For the people also to finish him. But that's how life is like. And that's how open doors are like. They are adversaries. Some of your adversaries, they are inside you. They are in you. Your own character. Yeah. The laziness that doesn't allow you to wake up. Some adversaries are also physical. But some adversaries are spiritual. But we are saying that no matter what form of adversity there is, they can all be overcome by prayer. Because through prayer, you will become strong. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So pray. So I'm encouraging you that if you will not do anything, so if you couldn't wake up at 4, wake up at 5 and join. Okay. The sleeping is too much. Tell your neighbor, say, the sleeping is too much. It's too much. You see, she's not telling. Number 2. The second way to recognize a door is to discern that it is an opportunity that will not always be there. And we talked about this one. And number 3, the third way to recognize the door is to realize that God engineered the opportunity and that it had nothing to do with your efforts. So in Acts chapter 14, verse 27, there's a beautiful verse here. We talks about the believers in Antioch. He said, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. What is a door of faith? A door of faith is a door that opens for a human being, an individual, or a nation, a group of people to believe. That's a door of faith. And those of us who are born again, we should forever be thanking God because according to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, the day you heard the gospel, God gave you a gift of faith. That's what it says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. That faith, you didn't generate it. It is God who decided to give you a gift of faith by which you believed. Because some people, for some reason, do not receive that faith and therefore do not believe.
Amen.
I remember somebody who used to sit, he actually sat in my cousin's shop. My cousin was a tailor. He was a middle school certificate holder. And he was trying to witness to this guy. The guy told him, I was in tech. was in tech. And everybody became Christian at the time. I didn't become Christian. Wow. What do you mean by you coming to convert me? You can't convert me. Oh yeah, he told you. That everybody became Christian, but me, I didn't become Christian. That's what one guy on my dormitory in sixth form also told the scripture union patron when he came to our dormitory and told the guy that, Charlie, so do you guys listen to our soul so that you can be born again? And I said, oh, our soul cannot convert me. You have to come and convert me. He told the teacher that you have to come and convert me. Our soul then can't convert me. Today is dead. Yeah, I don't know whether he had a child, whether anybody. See, that's what the Bible says. There are Moses and the prophets. There are Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Sometimes you and I should be sensitive to when a circumstance in somebody's life has made them open to the gospel. Because it happens. And I regret a couple of occasions because I didn't press in to make use of the door of faith. I remember sitting with one guy all night in his on his hospital bed. He had kidney failure. I could have witnessed to him. I could have. I mean, I had witnessed to some people who had seen in such a condition. I didn't. And he was a nice, chatty guy. If I had witnessed to him, I'm sure he would have received Christ. I didn't. The next time I heard, he was dead. His friend told me. His friend didn't know that I knew him, but I'd even met him before. But he mentioned, oh, this guy, he's dead. So may God help us so that when the circumstances open up, we will be ready to share. Yeah. So what's another mate of ours? He followed us around after a breakfast meeting. I knew that this guy was ripe. I could say, why was he following? At least I could have taken him aside and spoken to him. I didn't. He's also one of the first of our mates or whatever to die. So please, a door of faith, when it opens, let us take advantage of it because it doesn't, it's rare. I mean, sometimes you are striving to share the gospel with someone, but sometimes the circumstances present themselves. Like this taxi driver who picked me up from a train station in a place called Huntingdon near Cambridge to take me to my brother-in-law's birthday party. As we drove, he started telling me about skydiving. He said, wow. And he was like, you know, skydiving is one of the fantastic experiences of my life. And he was saying the thrill. He was talking. As he was talking, I remembered Reinhard Bonnke. Because Reinhard Bonnke met a man who started telling him, I don't know where he met the man, but the man was telling him about horses. And about this horse which won the derby, and this horse which did, and this horse. Hey, as he was talking, my Bonnke spirit was moved, and he said to him, have you heard about the horse in the book of Revelation? And the guy said, no. I said, that's obviously the horse, the only horse you haven't heard about. And the guy made a mistake and asked him, who is the jockey of that horse? Say, ah. You have brought yourself. His name is Faithful and True. Then Bonnke went to it. So when the guy was talking about skydiving, and I told him that, do you know the most wonderful experience I've had in my life? The guy said, what was it? I said, when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And the guy said, eh. Oh, and I took off. When he dropped me at the station, we stood there. Finished. He gave his life to Christ. And then he left. Oh, yeah. It's a door of faith, though. It's a door of faith. And you see, I pray that we will all be involved in Macarius Area Fellowship work because it gives you a chance to extend a door of faith to people. Gives you a chance. Why in your busy life, will you go and find a time to do outreach? But if you are a member of your area fellowship, at least you can do some outreach. and win souls. Next one. The door of service. So, the door of service. So, these are some doors. I just mentioned some doors and we close. The door of service is an opportunity to be effective for the Lord. The door of service is an opportunity to serve the Lord. We cannot effectively win souls for Jesus all the time. A time comes when it's not possible anymore. Sometimes marriage, pregnancy, and childbearing close the door of service. Sometimes. They are not meant to. So if you're a young lady here and you haven't encountered these three appointments, marriage, pregnancy, and childbearing, and you are still not serving, take the opportunity. When you follow the door of service, you gain two important qualifications. These are one. So anybody who follows the door of service and wants to do something in the house of God, number one, he graduates from being a novice. So 1 Timothy 3:6 says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. You see, this mention of pride has made me remember something about doors and opportunities. And it is this. You see, a door sometimes requires great humility to enter into. I am told that in the place of the nativity, when you go to Israel, you have to go through a low door to enter that place. So it reminds me of what Jesus said one day when he told the people, his disciples, who were fighting over who would be the greatest. He said to them that if you be like this little child, he brought a little child, if you be like this, you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Men and brethren, sometimes your major breakthrough will come through humility, becoming like a child. Oh yes. So sometimes you may have to take a job that you feel is not, you know, you are above that kind of job, but maybe taking it might lead to your breakthrough. As one of my members experienced, young lady, senior high school graduate. A pastor said, I would like you to come and be, she was in my fellowship. I'd like you to come and be my house help. And she agreed. And this particular member, I was preaching about tithing when Paul to the keyboard. When she decided that she would obey what I had said. That's why we must all be like the Bereans, who hear and receive the word of God with all readiness, and then we determine to ask ourselves, so what should be done? Anytime you hear the word of God, ask yourself, so what should I do? That's what is known as application. And for the political science student, I hear that's what Marx did to Leninism. Lenin came and produced the powerful ideology. Then Marx came and said, so what should be done about this? And that's what led to communism. That's why it's called Marxism-Leninism. Because Marx, Lenin wrote the document, but Marx came and said, so what should we do? So anytime you hear the word of God, ask yourself, so what should I do? So this, my member decided that, as I've heard the word, I will, she first of all said that my madam pays me salary every month, and then she adds credits, MTN credits, but I don't pay tax on the credit, so I'm going to pay tax on the credit. I said, wow, this is powerful. So she started paying tithe on the credit. Then this, my church member, who was a house help, she was a house help for a pastor and his wife, who were about to receive a brother from Switzerland, I think he was coming from, for homecoming. And by the way, there's going to be homecoming this year, because there used to be homecoming maybe about some 15, 20 years ago. But now we have homecoming in Mampong this year, so be ready for it. It's everybody coming from everywhere. You see all members of the UD come from different countries. Oh yes, beautiful. Prepare to be there. Prepare to be there. It will be nice. But this brother, as he was coming for homecoming, his lady pastor in Switzerland had decided that she would add another agenda to it. And that was the agenda of finding a beloved for him. So she spoke to another lady pastor in Ghana and told this lady pastor that, please, line up some contestants so he will meet them one by one and then decide which one of them he wants. But this, my church member who had paid her tithe, was the house help in that house. And when they brought the man there, she came to serve him. And when she saw, when he saw her, something moved in his chest. And he picked his phone and he called his lady pastor and said, lady pastor, all the other contestants, tell them to just relax. I have found one. Today they are married with 2 children. Oh yes. Because she passed through the door of humility to enter into the breakthrough for her life. B, you prove yourself so that you can be put into an office. The highest level in ministry is an office. But the first level is do the work. That's why I like the song. Do the work. Do the work. So suppression. Do the work. Do the work. Please, don't say that, oh, no, just do the work. Whatever you can do, just start by doing it. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, do the work of an evangelist. It's not saying that you are an evangelist or that you have the office of an evangelist, but you are helping to do the work of an evangelist. That's the level one. Level two is having a gift. You see, many of us are waiting to see an obvious gift before we do something. But from this one, you can see that you should do the work first. As you do the work, the gift will emerge. It will just come out. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Level 3 is having a ministry. Also 2 Timothy 4:5. Oh. 2 Timothy 4:5. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Lady Pastor Charismata. Make full proof of thy ministry. Then level 4, you occupy an office. And this is Romans chapter 11, verse 30. You occupy an office. Because when you occupy an office, you need people to help you. Like Healing Jesus campaign, it's an office. It's an evangelistic office. The door of utterance, Colossians 4:3. Without praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. May God bless you to speak the mystery of Christ wherever you find yourself. Oh yes. Oh yes. And finally, the door of faith, which you have spoken about, is the opportunity for salvation for someone. A door of utterance is an opportunity to preach or teach. Every opportunity to share the word must be seized. It is a God-given chance to minister. Anytime you share the word, you become more mature. Did you know that the preacher is the one who is most affected by the sermon? So Reverend Abosi, according to this statement, if you agree with it, who is the most blessed person by today's sermon? I am. That's why it's different. Let's close. Pray for yourself that, Father, I'll walk in your will. I'll have the desire to do your will. I'll will be able to recognize shut doors that I can't do anything about. But Lord, I'll also be able to recognize open doors. And God is opening doors for you wherever you are. He's opening doors for ministry for you. He's opening doors for business for you. He's opening doors for marriage for you. He's opening doors for career. He's into opening of doors. Because he said, I've set before thee an open door that no man can shut. I have the key of David.
Yeah.
And because you have not denied my name, and because you have kept my word, and because you have a little strength, I have opened a door for you. Begin to pray for yourself. In the realm of the spirit, begin to enter these open doors that God has for you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Rabo Shakatai Ababande Neme Baba. Isabe Shakebo Shibule Neme Atuzaka. Liba Moda Makataya Mamande Neme Manebi Sukaba. Rakasko Biande Neme Shataya Baba. Open doors, O God, in the name of Jesus. Rapidande Neme Baba. Doors of faith. Doors of action. Doors, O God. Marabasho Kaste Neme Baba. Diapide Sabo Shekale Neme Ataya Baba. Lord God, make us sensitive, O God. Make us sensitive, O God. Make us tune into your will, O God. In the name of Jesus.
Doors, Lord, let doors be open unto us. Doors of salvation.
May we serve, O God. Serve in your house.
May we serve, Lord. Doors of service. Let them be open unto us.
Through us, may people come to salvation, O God. May households come unto salvation.
Hallelujah.
In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, there's a statement that shows that a door of faith was opened onto a whole house. You know, when John and Andrew followed Jesus as disciples of John the Baptist to become Jesus' disciples, the Bible says John first found his brother Simon. Sorry, Andrew first found his brother Simon and brought him. And I look at the jailer, the Philippian jailer. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. A whole house was open. The door of faith was open for a whole house. I want you to pray that God will use you to usher somebody, houses, individuals, into the door of faith that they will believe. Pray for yourself in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you will use us, O God, in the name of Jesus, in our area of fellowship, O God. Open doors of faith by which whole families, whole households may enter, O God, into the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Make us like Andrew,
in any way, let doors of faith, doors of salvation be opened unto me. Mando sempre le manandaya, ramo sempre,
ikalababaya, open doors, open doors. In the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you may be here. You've not entered into the door of faith. You don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. But as we are in this house, in the house of the Lord, it is your chance to enter through that door to faith in Jesus Christ. If that is you, I want you to lift up your right hand only. I'll pray with you. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. And that lifted hand is a sign that you are agreeing with God. And once you say that, God, I agree with you. God, I associate myself with you. God also says that I am also associating myself with you. You say you like me, I also like you. So as you've lifted up your hand, take one more step of faith. Move from your seat and come forward. I want to pray with you right here. Please do that. Encourage them as they come. Encourage them as they come. God bless you. 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 A door of faith has been opened to you. For those of you here, look at me. You've taken a very important step. The most important decision of your life is what you've taken here today. But this is a decision that will determine your eternal destiny, whether you end up in heaven or hell. But I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Oh, you can come. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It is your prayer, only that I'm helping you. And I want us all to help them as we pray this prayer. Bow down your heads, close your eyes and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Please forgive me. Wash away my sins. Write my name in the book of life. Father, I thank you that I'm born again. I am a child of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. See our pastor over there. Go with him. He'll pray with you. He'll share something with you. And then you come back. Oh, please. Beautiful. Let's welcome Bishop Ampofu to lead us in the communion.
Oh, your clapping is too unappreciated. Bishop Asso, thank you very much for that. Wonderful, wonderful. Were you blessed by the message and the windows? Did you see yourself in it? I'm telling you, every example that he gave is sitting right here in the church. So may you receive the word with faith. And may you receive deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift up your bread. The communion is a door into the realms of the spiritual. It's a door through which God can send a miracle into your life. Say amen, somebody. It's a door that somebody's healing is coming through. Somebody's blessing is coming through. Somebody's deliverance is coming through. And as we take this communion this afternoon, we declare that whatever you are expecting from heaven, as the door opens, that God should throw it to you and you receive it in the name of Jesus. I don't know what you need. Maybe it's money, maybe it's school fees, maybe it's a visa, maybe it's an opportunity, maybe it's a job. But believe God that through this miracle door, you are receiving it in Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Jesus Christ. Eat it. Lift up the cup. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Your scripture says that the blood has the power to overcome. As we take the communion, Lord, whatever is trying to bring us down, whatever is standing between we and our breakthrough, whatever power, whatever strength that is trying to suppress our life, suppress our business, suppress our blessing, suppress our favor, whatever it is, we overcome by the blood. I say we overcome by the blood. I say we overcome by the blood. Say the blood of Jesus. Lift up your hands. By this communion, we overcome the oppression of Satan. Every oppression in your life, we overcome in the name of Jesus. Every delay in your life, by this communion, we receive a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Every darkness in your life, by this communion, we receive light. The Bible says God made confusion and destruction and darkness, and he gave just one instruction, that let there be light. So by this communion, I declare, let there be light in your situation. In the name of Jesus, as you go home from here, may something in this communion enter your house, enter your room. May the powers that oppress you in your house, the powers that bring confusion in your home, the powers that are breaking down your marriage, the powers that are depressing you, the powers that threaten you at night, by the power of this communion, you are sending fire to them in Jesus' name. Oh, say in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
I am listening. We believe you have been blessed by this powerful teaching from the Vicarious Church Headquarters, East Legon Hills, Accra. Stay blessed. I am waiting.